If you have your Bible with you, would you please turn to Psalm 119, and I'd like you please to come down into the third and fourth section of Psalm 119. Tonight we're going to be preaching on the subject of the door, and we will be bringing that out as we go through our message here tonight. We're starting to read the Word of God at Psalm 119. And it breaking in the third section, which is Gimel, and the verse 17. And the word of the Lord says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things from out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for longing, that it have unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed and do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight, and my counselors dealeth. My soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Amen. We know that the Lord will bless his own word. And with the word of God open, let us please turn quickly to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we thank you again for this thy day. And we thank you, Lord, again for thy word that has already went forth in this house. Whether, Lord, by the reading of the word of God, or whether, Lord, by the preaching and the ministry and song, Lord, tonight we thank thee so much for thy precious word. Lord, what a treasure we have in our own mother's tongue. We thank you, Lord, in times of difficulty, in times of sorrow, and the times of hardness. We thank you, Lord, that we have thy word to guide us through, no matter what that difficulty may be. And oh God, as we come now at the end of this meeting, our Father, our prayer is to thee that thou wilt still us in thy presence. That, O God, as we would minister for thee, that thou would minister through us, and that thou would speak to all who are in this service. Lord, what am I? Lord, I'm only the clay, but thou art the potter. And I pray, O God, that thou wilt fill this vessel with thy spirit and with thy power, that as thy word would go forth, it will speak as thus, and thus saith the Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a joy and a privilege to be able to come tonight and to speak to you concerning the things that the Lord has laid on our heart. I don't know if you've ever took the time to sit down and to read and to study Psalm 119. But when you begin to read and study this wonderful psalm, though it may be lengthy, you will find that it is broken up into many different sections. It says that Psalm 119 is set out in alphabetical order. Well, just as you would have went to school, just as you would have learnt your alphabet from A to Z, so is Psalm 119 set out in that alphabetical order for the Hebrew child to follow as he learns or she learns their alphabet. I don't know in your Bible, but I know in mine there should be, in each section as it breaks up, there should be little drawings there. And no doubt you're saying, as we have read these first two sections of this psalm, you're maybe saying, where is the door? You say you're coming to speak on the door, but where is the door? Well, if you're following through your Bible, between verses 24 and verses 25, there should be a little drawing there. And beside it, the word Zenith. And that little picture there in your Bible is a picture of a door. Zenith meaneth door. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, this is why I love the Word of God so much. Because if you were to take the time and just to look at each one of those little drawings in your Bible, every one of those drawings points to Christ. Every one of them. The very first one is a picture of an ox. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. And you know who the farmers know that years ago they used to plow the fields with oxen and they used to set the yoke upon the oxen. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. Paul said it this morning as he brought out his, about the word. Young people, learn to love the word of God. Learn to cherish it deep in your heart. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So you can see the first section of Psalm 119. It speaks of oxen, it speaks of learning. And the greatest place that you and I can learn of Christ is to learn it from the Word of God itself. When you come into that second part of that from verses 9 to verses 16, it speaks of Beth. And that is a picture of a house. Bethel meaning the house of God. And where greater can you learn of Christ? Where greater can you get an understanding of the Word of God? But when you come up to the house of God, this place ought to be your Bethel. It ought to be the place where you meet with God and God meets with us. But it literally doesn't have to mean in this house. It can be in your own home. It can be where you have your meeting place with God and you can call that place your Bethel because that's where you meet with the Lord. I hope you do. I hope you have your set times at home. I hope you have your times when things settle down in the house that you can get alone with God and you can open up the Word of God and you can begin to read and pray to the Lord. And as you read and pray, the Lord will talk and minister to you through the Word of God. Your Bethel. But what about Gimel? And ladies and gentlemen, it's a funny little picture, but it simply means God in. God in. While you come into Bethel and while you come into the house of God, we ought to pray that God is in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, why do we come to the house of God on the Lord's day? That we might meet with the Lord. And it ought to be our prayer as we come up to the house of God on the Sabbath day. Lord, our prayer is that thou would be in the house. The scripture says, let us draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto thee. My dear friend, as God is in the house, look at the psalmist's prayer. He says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. And my dear friend tonight, does this find you when you come to read the Word of God that you struggle with parts of Scripture? When you come to read, you find it hard to understand. What does that verse mean? Then you ought to pray like the psalmist. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things from out of thy law. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I love to get alone with the Lord. I love to get the Word of God open and just to sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, open up mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things from out of thy law. Did you look at as we read that psalm together, what the psalmist said about the Word of God in verse 27? Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. Ladies and gentlemen, if we spent more time talking about the Lord, we would see greater things achieved for Christ. Too much tittle-tattle, too much of the wrong talk. Rather than talking, did you see what the Lord's doing? Have you heard what the Lord's doing? This is marvelous. And it is wonderful in our eyes. Is that your talk today? Is your talk about the Lord? Do you love to talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ? Your work colleagues, your homemates, your school friends, your even your family members? Is it your joy to sit down and to talk of the wondrous things of the Lord? It's my joy. I look forward to a Friday night when I can sit down with the young people. We can open the Word of God. We don't talk about all the rubbish that is around the world. We just talk about the Lord. Open up mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things from out of thy law. But let me say this to my dear sinner friend. You need to have your eyes open to the wondrous things of God's law. You see, unless your eyes are not open to the things of God, you will never see your need of a Savior. Unless your eyes are open to understand, what does it mean? As I went to school, A, B, C, and D, I didn't understand it either. Until I began to put the alphabet into words. A is for apple, B is for ball, C is for cat, and it goes on. Maybe you're here tonight, sinner friend, and you just don't understand it. You hear people preach about the cross. You hear people preach about Jesus Christ and your need to come to the Savior. But unless your eyes are open to the truth, unless you can see your need and you see the wondrous things of Christ, you will never come to know your need of salvation. That's why we do pray, Lord, open up our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things from out of thy law. You see, when we come to the fourth section, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the door. And I thank God there's a door there. Because you see, that door is Christ. And Jesus said in the Word of God in John chapter 10, He said, I am the door. And if by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, that little drawing in your book, The Shape of a Door, it speaks of Christ. Dileth meaneth door. And as you think of that little Hebrew child as it learns its alphabet, as it comes down its alphabetical ladder, when it comes to the fourth part of the alphabet, it comes to the door, and it hears the words of the Savior say, I am the door. If by me, if any man, shall enter in, he shall be saved. That little child understands that. My dear friend, adult child, person in this meeting tonight, do you understand it? Do you understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, I am the door? If by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. That's not difficult to work out, is it? And here the psalmist is at a door. He's not really standing at the door because look at verse 25 what it says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. See, my Bible doesn't tell me that his soul had fell in the dust. It doesn't tell me that his soul was lying in the dust. But what I see is a man here or a woman whose back is to the wall. The psalmist is almost down and out. He's cleaving to the dust. And all of a sudden, God sets a door before the psalmist. Is there one in this meeting today? And this finds you in the position of the psalmist, cleaving to the dust. Cleaving to the dust of your sin. For years you've tried to shake it off. You can say, ah, Lord, I tried the broken cisterns, but ah, the water's stale. And every time you try to shake it off, you just keep going down and down and down, deeper and deeper into your sin. You see, the psalmist, he knew the Word of God. The Word of God was in his heart. And even though he was low in his life, even though he was almost down and out, look at his prayer. He says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, in this day and age in which we live, do we not need to be quickened by the Word of God? Do we not need the Holy Spirit to come and breathe afresh upon the work of God again? I need quickened. We all need quickened. And we need quickened according to the Word of God. You see, that word quickened simply means to be revived. Revived. Is there one in this meeting that wants you burnt bright for God? Wants your testimony was a glowing testimony to the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done in your life, but sadly you're cleaving to the dust. Sadly you're down and almost out, but you're crying from your heart, Lord, quicken thou me. According to thy word. You see, as a door was set before the psalmist, the Lord has set a door before each one of us here tonight. I love that little verse in the Word of God, and I think that's what has kept me going in the Lord's work in the Youth Fellowship. Many times I claim it, Lord, thou says in thy word, I have opened up a great and effectual door unto thee, and no man shall shut it. You see, when God opens the door, ladies and gentlemen and young people, then there's no one can shut the door. And I'm glad as we sung in that hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. My dear friend, at the cross of Calvary, there was a door opened up, and praise God tonight, that door is still open. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall indeed be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, there's a door that is set before us. There is a door that is opened. But there's something quickly that I want you to see about this door is, not only is Jesus Christ, as he says, I am the door, and if by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. My friend, that door is also a dividing line. A dividing line. You see, a door divides. There's two sides to a door. And I ask the question as we sing that little chorus to our boys and girls and children's work. One door and only one. Yet it sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? I can't answer that question. It's only you in this meeting tonight who knows what side of the door you're on. You've either by faith entered in through the door and you're saved as the Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. And you tonight know by yourself if you've entered through that door. But you also know tonight, if you haven't entered through the door, you know what side of the door you're on. And that's why I tell you tonight, young people and older people, the gospel is simple. I had a wee laugh as I thought about it. You know, the gospel is full of truth. And no matter how much you look at it and scrutinize it and look into it, I can tell you, you'll find no horse beef in the gospel because it's solid beef. That's what's there. It's truth. And this is the truth. You're either on the inside of the door, or you're on the outside of the door. You're either saved on your way to heaven, or you're on your way to hell. You're either lost or not. But which side of it is you on? Which side of that door are you on? One door and only one. Yet it sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? These young people sung of that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. There was a time in their young lives when they entered through the door. When they saw by faith their need to be saved. They saw there was only one way to get to heaven. And if they were to get to heaven, they had to enter through the door. And by faith, they entered through that door. And tonight they're saved. And on their way to heaven and to glory. I want to show you something very quickly, if you'll turn with me. It's not only what divides, but that door will not always be opened. I want you to turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And there was only one door in the ark. And God told Noah to build that ark. But he only gave him one command, that there was only to be one door. And my dear friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you think there's many roads to climb into heaven, you're wrong. Because there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to see it in verse 16. It says, and they went in male and female and all flesh, as God had commanded him. And look at it. And the Lord shut him in. God shut the door. My dear friend, tonight the door is opened. In the psalm, you've been brought to an open door. And yes, you've been brought to the door that will divide. But one day, my dear friend, that door might not always be open. There's a very sad verse in Proverbs. And it simply says in Proverbs chapter 1, there will come a time when you will call, but I will not answer. There will come a time when you will seek me, but you'll not find me. Ladies and gentlemen, as I told you tonight, there's a dividing line. You're either saved or lost. You're either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. You're either inside the door or you're outside of the door. But there's coming a day when Christ will return again. When the saved of the earth shall be gathered up to be with the Lord and forever to be with the Lord. But sadly, there will be those who be left outside. And that door will be shut. And you will be left for the wrath of God, which is to come. See, my friend, isn't the gospel plain? We're just speaking about an old door. But it's not just any old door. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, my dear friend, if you enter in through that door, you shall be gloriously and wonderfully saved. But it's not just the door, as we come to my last point in this psalm. There's two roads, but you can only be in one. You can only be in one. I hope you saw it as we went down that passage. Verse 29, it says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. You see, this is a saved man. The psalmist is saved. He doesn't want the ways of lies. But he says in verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. My friend, as I said to you, which side of the door are you on? Have you stepped inside the door by faith? Or are you still outside the door, lost in your sin? But I ask you, which road are you on? Are you still following the path of lies? Or have you chosen the path of truth? Have you entered in at the straight gate? Took that narrow path that leads home to heaven and to glory? You see, my friend, you're either in one or the other. John Gray had always a great saying in his preaching. He says there's a big broad road, and it doesn't matter how clean you try to walk the broad road, you're still dirty and you're still on the broad road. And my dear friends, there are many here tonight and you're following religion and you're stinking rotten religion. But I can tell you tonight, religion will never save you. It will never gain you an entrance into heaven. But if you choose Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will choose truth and you will choose the way of truth, and he will bring you home to glory to be with him. You see, my friend, which side of the door are you on? Are you on the inside are you still outside? Are you still following the same old lies year after year, year after year? Maybe you've sat in gospel missions under conviction. Maybe you've come so close to the door, and yet the devil has said in your eye, sure, put it off till another night. Sure, you don't have to get saved now. Wait till you're older. And then you can think about getting saved. Let me tell you, if you're following that instruction, that's a lie from the pit. Because the Bible says, boast thyself not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How do you know that you will be spurred to your old age? How do you know that you will be given an opportunity on your deathbed? My friend, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, but call upon Him while He is near. Are you in this meeting in your 70s and you're still listening to the same old lies of the devil? You hear as a young person and maybe under conviction, getting so close to getting saved, and still you're still listening to the same old lies from the pit. So you have plenty of time. You have plenty of time. See, my friend, if you're on that path, then you're following the path of lies. You're on the broad road, and that's leading to hell and to destruction. You see, my friend, the devil, he doesn't want to see you saved. He doesn't want to see you going home to heaven. But he wants to damn your soul in hell. And he will tell you all the old lies of the day just to drag your soul into a lost eternity. But you see, the psalmist, he had forsaken the ways of lies. He had turned his back on the way of lies. And you see his testimony comes out so clear. He says, I have forsaken the ways of lies, but I have chosen the way of truth. My friend, have you chosen that way too? Have you forsaken the ways of lies and chosen the ways of the Lord? See, it's simple, isn't it? You're either inside the door or you're out. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either heading to heaven on the broad road or on the narrow road, or you're heading to hell on the broad road. I don't think that can be any simpler or any plainer. But which one is it? Inside or out? Broad or narrow? Lies or truth? Lies or truth? You see, the psalmist said, Lord, I have... Hallelujah. Oh, may God give us that stickability in the Lord's work. Even when things get hard and tough, even though they may tell us a heap of lies and say, she, you need to get with it today. Listen, banish your lies. I have stuck to thy truth. I have stuck to thy word, Lord. You see, there's another door in Genesis 19, and we haven't really time to turn to it. And it's about Lot. And you know the story of Lot, how the Lord sent the angels into Sodom to warn Lot to get out of the place. And when it entered into the house of Lot, it was told there that the men of Sodom gathered outside the door of Lot. And what did Lot do? It says that he went out, and when he went out of the house, he shut the door. You know what that shows me, young people? Learn this. When Lot went out of the house, he knew the angel of the Lord was in the house. And he closed the door. And he shut the fragrance of beauty of God in the house. He kept God where God ought to be. Where God's glory ought to be. In the house. And when he closed that door, what did he do? He shut the very atmosphere and the very stench of hell. He shut it outside the house. Ladies and gentlemen, we should never bring any unclean thing into the house of the Lord. We should always forsake the ways of lies and continue to stick to the way of truth. Truth. So as I come to close, you've been brought clearly to the door. That door is Christ. You have a question now that needs answered. Which side of the door are you on? Are you saved? Are you lost? Are you on the broad road? On the narrow road? Are you heading to heaven? Are you heading to hell? Listen, my friend. You see, to cleave. This man was cleaving to the dust. For you to get saved tonight, you're going to have to leave. Enter through the door and cleave to the Lord. Are you willing to leave your sin? See, the reason why you're still outside the door, the reason why you're still not saved in this meeting tonight, is because you're still cleaving to your sin. And that's why in this town of Portadown, there are so many tonight, and they're still outside of this building. They're still lost on their way to hell because they love their sin. And they love it so much, they don't want to give it up. But my friend, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to leave your sin. Not part of it. You're going to have to leave it all. And if you're going to leave it all, you're going to have to enter through the door. And if you enter through the door, you shall be saved. I don't think that can be any clearer tonight. My friend, you come into this meeting through a door. And you will leave this meeting through a door. You have a decision. I either leave through that door without Christ, or I enter through that door and I accept Christ as my Savior. I can't make that decision for you. But my God, by His grace, give you that help to make the right decision, that you choose the way of truth and choose Christ and be gloriously and wonderfully saved. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts.